Hello and welcome to the Friday, August 29th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Chicago, Illinois. I just posted a quick diary based on a submission we got from a reader. This particular reader had his FireEye appliance warn him about users being exposed to malware while going to Forbes.com. Of course, Forbes.com being a rather large and well-respected site, it would be quite bad if it would be distributing malware. Well, it turns out it's probably not malware, but a really little bit hard to tell. I posted excerpts from the JavaScript that's being loaded from a third-party domain here. Overall, it's heavily obfuscated, not easy to see what it does, but given that the domain appears to be owned by a web advertisement click-through counting company, it's probably their proprietary code in order to more easily and more detailed figure out who is visiting this particular page. If you want a little JavaScript reversing challenge, take a look at the code and maybe you find something evil in there that I missed. And apparently JP Morgan was breached by some so far unidentified hackers. A lot of speculations here in the press. Apparently some problem in the web application was used to breach JP Morgan's network. Not a lot of details, like I said. They are speaking about a zero day, but then again, it's probably a custom coded web application, like a lot of the code that you see, for example, on most large websites. And as such, essentially, more or less, any vulnerability here would be sort of a zero day. So in itself, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a very sophisticated. Simple exploits like a SQL injection attack don't necessarily require a lot of skills, but more the right tools. Apparently, JP Morgan did identify that the attackers were Russian, but again, what the motivation was, whether they were after money or whether this was a politically motivated attack, is really unknown at this point. And browsers are starting to pay more and more attention to SSL, with now Firefox supporting SSL certificate pinning. How this works is that the browser will remember what certificate authority was used to issue a particular certificate, and then it will warn the user if all of a sudden a certificate is used signed by a different certificate authority. That works a little bit better than just verifying the certificate itself. For example, a large web application like, let's say, Google may use different certificates depending on which server you connect to or which particular site within the google.com domain you connect to. So what they are now doing is they're actually, first time you visit the site, they remember what certificate authority was used, assuming that if you ever need new certificates, you're probably going to go back to the same certificate authority. Interesting approach. We'll see how well this works. One problem, of course, maybe if you do change certificate authorities legitimately and now get a new certificate, then browsers may warn users about this problem and they may consider that certificate as invalid. So if there are too many of these false positives, then users may just get annoyed by them and ignore those warnings if they indicate an actual problem. And the Honeynet project is introducing a new tool called BeeSwarm. The Honeynet project, of course, is known for a variety of different honeypot tools. What's different about BeeSwarm is that it's not just a server and not just a client. Instead, it's the combination of the two, actually trying to create somewhat realistic traffic for the honeypot, including logins from administrators and the like, to make it harder for an attacker to figure out that what they're connecting to is actually just meant to trap the attacker. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again on Tuesday. Due to Labor Day, we'll take Monday off and we'll be back on Tuesday. Bye.